Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Hi everybody, welcome to the press. It is the start of a new week. It's the start of a PGA Tour week, officially speaking at least. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Thanks for being here. We're going to talk today about the Hero World Challenge, the 2023 edition, which will be played Thursday through Sunday at Albany Golf Club in the Bahamas. We've got a 20-player field competing this week. We will do a show tomorrow to talk about the two DP World Tour events this week, the ISPS Handa Australian Open, and that's co-sanctioned with the Challenger PGA Tour of Australasia. And then on the co-sanction with the Sunshine Tour, we have the Investec South African Open Championship. And it's cool to have two of the oldest open championships in golf history at the same time. Unfortunately, it kind of hurts the fields, and the way it's kind of stacked kind of stinks. But it is cool to have that history going this week. But the main event is obviously a 20-player tournament in the Bahamas where everyone's guaranteed to make $100,000 no matter what. So it's a $3.5 million purse, $1 million to the winner. Victor Hovland is the two-time defending champion of this tournament, and he has the lowest odds on the board. He's 4-1 to win this week. There are top 5 and top 10 odds out there at the DraftKings Sportsbook, which is where we're pulling the odds from here for our show. But there's really no point in betting a top 10, unless you think Tiger's going to finish in the top 10, then that's a plus 250 bet. We'll come back to him, though. Scottie Scheffler is plus 450 or 9-2, depending on how you like your odds read to you. Max Homa and Colin Morikawa are each 8-1. Then a big jump to 16-1 for three players, Matt Fitzpatrick, Justin Thomas, and Cameron Young. Your 20s are Sam Burns, Ricky Fowler, and Jordan Spieth. 22 for Wyndham Clark and Tony Finau. Brian Harman is 28-1. Will Zalatoris makes his return to professional golf this week. Basically been MIA the entire year with a back injury that's continued to bother him. Hopefully he has taken enough time off. I'd love to see him back playing well. But Willie Z is 35-1 along with Sepp Straka, Keegan Bradley, Justin Rose, and Jason Day. And then the final two players are Lucas Glover at 50-1 and your tournament host, Tiger Woods, is 70-1. Now, let's take Tiger off the table. You're not betting him at 70-1. You haven't seen him play golf in forever unless it's been on a video or wearing a Call of Duty hoodie. No smart money is going to bet him at 70-1. Now, could you bet him at plus 250 on the top 10? Yeah, I believe you could. He's going to try to play some golf here. I mean, he's not playing to play. He's playing to play well. He believes he can do something. And it's a bit of a tune-up for him to play with his son at the PNC Championship in a couple of weeks' time in the Orlando area. So he needs to get a competitive rep in, as he would say, and this is an opportunity to do that. I do not think he is a threat to win whatsoever, and you should not think that either. But a plus 250 to beat half the field, I'm kind of interested in that. I'm not going to lie about that. I think at the top of the board, you've got Victor Hovland again, won this event 2 years in a row. He obviously likes this golf course. He is a better golfer than he was when he won it both of these times previously. Much better golfer. Much more consistent golfer. He had a very good week in Dubai, the DP World Tour Championship. Almost got there to the top of the board. On a golf course that he hadn't played particularly well previously. He has been great throughout the summer. He has been great all year. 4-1 stinks. But if you're going to pick one of the favorites, you would pick Victor Hovland. Scottie Scheffler hasn't played golf other than the Ryder Cup. I don't know what kind of rust he's going to have on him. He ended the year in pretty lackluster fashion. And unless he's learned how to putt in the last 7 to 8 weeks, I see no reason to play him. Max Homa at 8-1 and Colin Morikawa at 8-1 makes sense to me. Homa won in his last start in South Africa. I don't even know that he had his best stuff, and he still managed to win. And he has figured out how to become a guy who just, when he's there, it's over. He is a closer, and it's impressive. And at 8-1, I think he's worth a play here. he would love to win Tiger's. He loves Tiger Woods so darn much. He won his tournament at the Genesis for his breakthrough win. Had that ticket at 50-1, one of my favorite tickets ever. I think he would love to get another trophy in a Tiger Woods hosted tournament. Colin Morikawa is 8-1 also. Won the Zozo Championship on a golf course that is very different than this one. Much more difficult off the tee. Not that this golf course isn't, but there are five par fives. That doesn't work really to Morikawa's advantage, given that he's not the longest player. That doesn't mean he can't play well, but I think between those two, you would pick Homa, but I would understand why you'd pick Morikawa as playing better. And maybe that win in Japan sets up a great 2024 for him and a good capper here. Who knows? But I between the two, I would pick Homa. And then your 16s, I think your obvious pick here is to avoid Cameron Young. Good player, good power player. He just has not kind of played well when he's played in the fall. Not played poorly, just hasn't played well. Justin Thomas has played twice this fall, and he finished 5th and 4th, bookending this fall, really. Played the Fortinet because he needed some kind of proof that he was alive to go play in the Ryder Cup, and then did well in the Nedbank Golf Challenge, finished 4th, which was a cool thing for him to go over there and go play that event. Fitzpatrick didn't play great in Dubai. It's a place he's won a couple of times, so that's a little bit concerning for me. And I don't particularly love him on this golf course, although it's not that different than Jumeirah Golf Estates. But I think between those two, you would pick Justin Thomas, and then you're immediately going to regret it probably if you pick either of them. So maybe you just pick Fitzpatrick and hope for the best. Sam Burns, I'm just going to stay away from. Same with Rick. Spieth, haven't seen him all fall. He was not particularly good really at all in the Ryder Cup, so no thank you. Wyndham Clark and Tony Finau. Finau's just, I don't even know where his game is right now. Wyndham Clark has been pretty cool in terms of going to play in Japan and Spain, trying to gallivant a little bit and probably get a little bit of money for appearing in these tournaments, but mediocre results, right? In not big fields, particularly the Dunlop Phoenix tournament where he was okay. I mean, middle of the field, but not in a big field. So probably stay away from those guys. You're not betting Will Zalatoris. You haven't seen him play golf in forever. Brian Harman, okay, I can live with that. If you think he's going to do something, he made one start in the fall, T44 at the RSM in his own backyard. Just had to get something in and patronize this tournament that he's patronized forever. I don't know that you take a whole lot from that. Justin Rose is a guy I'm kind of interested in, but then you go and look at his results and they're all very T30, T40, T50, very mediocre. So there's not a whole lot to say for that, but that's why he's priced there. Jason Day's fallen off the map. Keegan Bradley had a decent title defense at the Zozo, has not played much otherwise. So a lot of what you're guessing about so far this week is who's played and how do they look when they play and when did they last play. And you've got results for the European guys. You've got results for Justin Thomas and Max Homa, at least somewhat recently. Those seem like the best ways to go. If you want to look at good par five players, maybe you think about Tony Finau for that reason. But beyond that, I don't have a whole lot of compelling data that tells you you absolutely have to bet so-and-so. But all of the guys that you would bet based on current form are less than 20-1. So if you want to make those wagers, have at it. I'm totally fine with that. You're just not getting a lot of return on your money holding it, again, for 4 days. If you bet this pre-tournament, it's going to be 5 or 6 days for a result where you can get 4-1. I mean, you can do better on a nice single game parlay on Monday Night Football. You can and be done in 3 hours. So my suggestion would probably be to look live, especially for these favorites. We haven't seen the tee times yet, but there aren't that many, obviously. And if you can be comfortable just trying to hope that these guys don't come out the gate and crush it, you know, the Hovland, Morikawa, Homa, Thomas group, you know, those four. But you're probably not going to do better than your 16-1 on Thomas. Like, if he comes out and makes a couple early birdies, you're never going to see him pass 10-1 again, unless he actually doesn't have a chance to win and falls off. Morikawa, I could see, you know, maybe makes a couple early pars, and that market kind of hangs in there 10-1, depending on his tee time. Yeah, you can do a little bit better. You can do better with Hovland. You can do better with Homa, unless you have some serious conviction. You know, I would wait. I would try to wait. But if you want to get a little piece of each of those guys at that number, And in the event, Victor Hovland goes 300 through the first four and blitzes his field again and does the exact same thing he's done the last two times he's played this tournament, then, you know, okay, 4-1 is fine, I guess, if that's your theory of the case. That's not mine, but again, we haven't seen a whole lot of these guys. It's this tournament with the changes to the fall over the last two falls has really become a total roll of the dice. I mean, it used to be in the fall that you got a little bit more from some of these guys. Maybe you got one start, two starts. The European guys you saw plenty of. But now that they've changed their schedule to align to be after, a lot of their good stuff to be after the FedEx Cup schedule, you've got more data points on those guys. And you don't have like a Tommy Fleetwood here or Tyrrell Hatton here to help you out, offer something to work with. I mean, maybe you think about Sam Burns as like Bermuda Burns, but it's not Bermuda. I don't think. I'm pretty sure it's Zoysia, but not Bermuda. So I'll pass Palom. I don't see a whole lot of benefit. If you like pass Palom is not that different than Bermuda in terms of how it grows out. So maybe you like something there. Maybe you feel some compulsion to that, but. No, I think this is a pretty cut and dry kind of week from a value perspective. There's not a whole lot, but that's for good reason. If you want to take a chance on Tiger finishing in the top 10 at plus 250. If you think Tony Finau can blow up some par fives for 4 days, okay, you can like him. And then that's probably it. And hopefully it's interesting and entertaining. In terms of nationality props, they're mostly Americans. So if you want to look at like the top European player, Victor Hovland's minus 150, Matt Fitzpatrick's plus 330. If you think that Matt Fitzpatrick is going to have a better week than Victor and Victor's just tired and finished and doesn't want to do it, which I don't think is the case, then I would come over here and bet Fitzpatrick at plus 330 of the, you know, there are four European players in the field. Straka and Rose are plus 550 each. I would rather bet that outright. If you think they're going to beat them, you might as well think they're going to win the whole darn thing. But at least with Hovland and Fitzpatrick, that's almost a matchup play. And if you're willing to think that Fitzpatrick can outplay Hovland, that's a pretty good value. I think that's something worth exploring if you're thinking about some kind of way to get around, you know, not necessarily have to bet on the outcome, but maybe you just make it into a 1v1. I'm not seeing any matchups here yet. They will probably come. We'll look at those later in the week. And we'll run with that. Sorry for the short edition of the show, man. I know it's only like 12, 13 minutes long. There's just not a lot to talk about here. We don't have a whole lot of modeling. We don't have a whole lot of data. We know the guys who are playing well in this tournament, who have historically done well in this tournament. We have one guy who's won it twice in a row. It's pretty cut and dry. So we'll look at this again on perhaps Wednesday, if any new data comes to light, if anything kind of moves significantly in the market. But this is probably it. I mean, it makes good sense. It's not particularly tricky. If you want to make your wagers and hold that money for 5 or 6 days, do it now. If you think you can get a little bit of better value or are willing to take the discount that you probably, or the enhanced, unenhanced price, the worst price that you might get if you bet this live, okay, then go for it. But again, there's a lot of other stuff out there to bet right now, so I understand if you're not itching to go bet Victor Hovland at 4-1 to win a golf tournament for a third year in a row. All right, if you have any questions for me, email me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. You can find me on X, Twitter, Threads, and Instagram at the handle Ryan Ballingy. We will be back tomorrow. We'll talk about the Australian Open, the South African Open, and we'll get through the DP World Tour docket double for the week. And we'll be back soon after that. So we'll let you know if there's going to be a Wednesday show tomorrow, just based on anything that might change. Otherwise, we'll get into the rest of the card tomorrow, and we'll finish up the week. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you next time on The Press.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.